Who here was a picky eater as a child? Go ahead, be a proud picky eater. Maybe you're still a picky eater, I won't ask that. I was a very picky eater. We decry this in children because, you know, it makes life difficult for the adults in their life who may have to produce nothing but plain pasta for years or else face a battle at mealtimes. And also, you know, we want kids to be a little more adventurous and appreciate things that, to use the sensory terms we use for vision, they find ugly at first. They taste something, they say it's unfamiliar, or they're not used to it, they don't like it at first, and so they think, fat. But we want them to cultivate a little more breath in what they find beautiful to the tongue. I'm happy to say I've cultivated more of that breath, though I'm still kind of picky. Trying to learn that some of the things that I don't like at first actually can become some of my favorite foods in time. What's funny is that, you know, we cultivate this breath in kids, we try to, when it comes to what they'll eat, but in all sorts of other aspects of beauty, we cultivate, well, we call it taste. We're really trying to get people to narrow their idea of what is beautiful over the years. You know, this kind of fashion is interesting or becoming to this body. This kind of hairstyle looks good on this person. They shouldn't try that one. Architecture, music, you name it. We try to teach people what is beautiful and what is not, with lots of room for different tastes, of course. But there are at least two ways to think about beauty. This marvelous quality, this marvelous part of the experience of being alive that we remind ourselves to rejoice in with our benediction each week. If we're going to rejoice in beauty, there are at least a couple different ways we can do that. One is this narrower way, to notice the particularly beautiful, the people who might get cast in a movie, while other people with fabulous acting ability but not such great cheekbones are passed over or have to fight a little harder to get there. There's a narrow way, and then there is the approach of ever widening our sense, like a picky eater who agrees to really try with an open mind that other weird thing. Ever widening idea of what could possibly strike us as beautiful. With the ultimate being what Ajahn Chah suggested, this ideal that maybe only enlightened Buddhists could ever reach, of seeing that the distinction between beautiful and ugly is one of those productions of the mind. It's not inherent in the thing itself. We have attachments and aversions. We like to say that what is ugly is connected to immoral or problematic things, but it's not that simple either. Now, as I say all this, I want to give a caveat. I'm not saying nobody should have preferences. There's a certain kind of face that you find particularly lovely. There's music that you prefer to others. I'm not saying if you love of pop, now you need to listen to jazz, or if you love country, it's time to listen to classical. It's okay. We don't need to force ourselves to broaden our sense of the beautiful in every single way. But there are some good reasons to entertain that option. Well, Humpty Dumpty put it this way. You may remember that Humpty Dumpty mentioned something to Alice about a present he'd gotten for his unbirthday. She said, "What's an unbirthday?" He said, "Well, it's a day when it's not your birthday." Alice thinks and she says, I like birthday presents better. And so he sits and does a little bit of math. And he says, of all the days of the year, you only have one birthday, but you have 364 unbirthdays. So which one is better to celebrate? So perhaps we can widen our sense of the beautiful, especially when it comes to people, to have some more celebrations of the unbirthdays in our lives. And then we have a lot more to rejoice in. Now this idea, it comes up in our culture as well, of course. I'm thinking of, Stephen mentioned the beauty of drizzly days, and rain has been celebrated, people pointing us to the possible beauty of a rainy day, from the Beatles and their song Rain, back to Irving Berlin, who says, as long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. It's a lovely day to get caught in the rain. And most of us know that, that simply being with people we love, seeing the face of a friend or a beloved, we recognize that that's not a face that will get put on the cover of People for their most beautiful issue. Have you ever noticed why the most beautiful people in the world are always English speaking? It's a very strange thing. Anyway, we can see perfectly well that person doesn't have the beauty of a model, and yet it's usually the case. I hope it's the case that the people we love become more beautiful to us. What we're seeing, of course, is beyond the surface. We're seeing our experiences. We're seeing what we know about them. That's what shows through their imperfectly formed eyes and their irregular features. But also, maybe we'll actually be able to say, there's beauty there that I missed, beauty of that the senses takes in, and have that unbirthday example. Different people have pointed the way to this by the particular ways that they see. Like scientists say, well, I'm not just looking at with my senses, there's something I know that makes something beautiful. So Richard Feynman was a little irritated by a friend who thought, he said, as an artist can see how beautiful this flower is, but you as a scientist take it all apart and it becomes a dull thing. Feynman said, although I may not be quite as refined aesthetically as he is, I can appreciate the beauty of a flower at the same time. Ups the competition a little bit. I see much more about the flower than he sees. I could imagine the cells in there, the complicated actions inside, which also have a beauty. I mean, it's not just beauty at this dimension. At 1 centimeter, there's also beauty at smaller dimensions. The inner structure, also the processes. The fact that the colors in the flower evolved in order to attract insects to pollinate it is interesting. It means that insects can see the color. It adds a question, does this aesthetic sense also exist in the lower forms? Why is it aesthetic? All kinds of interesting questions which the science knowledge only adds to the excitement, the mystery, and the awe of a flower. That is all beauty, is it not? So there's those additional layers of knowledge. And then there's context. I was on a long road trip with two other people and taking turns choosing the music, as you do, although I am usually the driver, and so I feel like I usually get the last word. One of the other people chose Kendrick Lamar. Now, I like Kendrick, okay, but I didn't know a lot about his music, and this friend was not content to just say, hey, listen to this music. He wanted to give us the context. He told us a lot about Kendrick's life story and how he came to be a musician out of a lot of violence, seeing friends get killed in gang violence or drive-by shootings, and what made him decide to put his energy into his music. And then we listened to the song. And it was a very different, much richer experience. The sounds were exactly the same as when we heard it before, but layers of meaning added beauty to what we were hearing. And then sometimes the beautiful is revealed by someone's insisting on our looking beyond the conventional, shaking us up a little bit. Because we, as Barbara said last week from this pulpit, and if you missed it, make sure to see the video of the service on our YouTube channel, because her beautiful drawings are really important to the wisdom of the service. We lose out a lot when we don't look beyond the conventional, especially because of what we take away about ourselves and these strict rules of beauty for being a human being in this society. So it's great when somebody can shake that up. We're all used to the movie cliche of the homely girl dressed in stiff, boring clothes, wearing glasses on her face and a tight bun in her hair, who gets a new outfit, tosses away her glasses, pulls out the bun and shakes out her hair, and becomes gorgeous. Yeah, 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 like we didn't notice before. How about turning it around? The face carefully made up, the clothes revealing luscious curves, and then she says, "No, just look at me." Hello, Pamela Anderson. In case you missed it, the blonde bombshell Pamela Anderson decided she was not going to wear makeup in public anymore. She was done with that. And if you see her, you might remember that 80s look and think, did I ever see her eyes before? Or did we mostly see her mascara and eyeshadow? Did we see the approved image of womanhood, and now we see the woman. We see what she wants to present to us. She's getting some pushback about that. Like, how dare somebody appear just as they are? Maybe she doesn't care whether you see her as beautiful or not. But I think there's a great spiritual opportunity here to say, where did we learn those distinctions? Where did we learn to say, this is beautiful and this is not? I'm attached to this, I'm averse to that. And turn away instead of noticing, where there's an aversion, I might learn something about myself. Can you show the picture there, Tim, that I used for the website illustration of this this service? So if you find bugs beautiful, this probably isn't so challenging for you. So if you really, really like grasshoppers, I think they're grasshoppers, some entomologists will come correct me if not, put the ugliest thing you can think of on her hand instead. She is looking at that bug as if it is gorgeous. I don't know whether she thinks it's, pretty, but she's obviously fascinated, which is to say she sees some sort of beauty in what it does or how it operates, or maybe in the green of those wings and those amazing legs that can propel it hundreds of times its length through the air. And not only does this picture invite us to look at what she's looking with that fascination, but the look on her face, the way she approaches the world, has the potential to make her beautiful. I mean, don't you want to know her, this person who looks at the world this way? Oftentimes we meet people who are boring to us at first or annoying. They don't strike us as the kind of people we want to meet or get to know well. And again, it's okay to have your best friends, the people you most want to spend time with, get to know. We can't get into that depth with everybody. But as we move through the world, we can sort it into beautiful, ugly, beautiful, ugly, interesting, not interesting. Or we can take that aversion as an opportunity to maybe discover a kind of beauty that that girl was seeing, young woman, that young woman was seeing in that grasshopper, that we can see in her chipped nail polish and the little tattoos on her fingers and her hairstyle. If those don't suit us, to say, what are we not seeing? One of my own aversions is litter. I don't like litter. I pick it up. Well, good. That's good. Don't want it going into the bay or whatnot. And I just don't like the way it looks. But thinking about this sermon and thinking, what do I turn away from automatically and think, oh, it has a deeper meaning that's icky. It's plastic. It's people being careless. It's things going to go into the bay and choke the fish. It's just messing up the serenity of this street. Can I see something else? And I thought, yeah, something I really like in the natural world is the signs of who's been here. What's happened in the past? I like the scars on trees because you can tell, there's an incident here. I don't know exactly what, but I'm seeing not just the tree in this moment, but an incident from its past where maybe there was a big storm and it lost a major limb and had to heal over the years. And that's a kind of beauty, to see that history. You see the processes underneath. Or the trails left by bugs under the bark. I find those particularly beautiful, even though they're a kind of decay and destruction of the tree. Okay, so here's a street of my hometown being littered with stuff. It shows the history too. Oh, look at that. Someone around here really likes Snickers. I've seen 3 wrappers. I pick them up, I'm gonna throw them out, but I can learn along the way. Oh, it's not just ugly piece of plastic on the ground. It's, I just learned something about the people here. I can see there was a concert because there's a couple copies made almost unreadable by the rain of the same program. So I think probably a couple people came along here and dropped their programs, didn't bother to pick them up. I used to see a lot of cigarette butts when I walked in this neighborhood, and I don't see so many anymore. So I'm thinking probably not as many people are smoking. That's something I'm learning. There's a lot to learn from litter, even as I pick it up and put it in the landfill bin. A cue to appreciate unexpected beauty. To broaden our ideas and have more opportunities to rejoice in beauty is a very simple one, a very, very simple cue. And that is aversion. When we notice something that we think is ugly, I hate this kind of music. Why do people leave things in the street? He should really do something with that hair. Can we take that as a cue to notice what's going on in us, and can we turn it around? Aversion is one of the 3 poisons in Buddhism. It's kind of the flip side of attachment. It just means we'd rather see something that we consider beautiful. Well, of course we would. But can we, since aversion, also known as hatred and anger in different translations, since aversion is said to be one of the 3 poisons, can we say, I don't want to be poisoned? What's the antidote? Well, one antidote, especially when it comes to people, if we have an aversion to people or a dislike of them, is loving kindness. Try to hold them in loving kindness, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not. But even for a Snickers wrapper on the floor, which is hard to love. An antidote might be curiosity. Just how'd it come here? And what's it all about? How does it work? See the ugly things in our lives the way Richard Feynman sees a flower. Okay, maybe they're pretty on the surface and maybe not. But what's going on under there? There's always so much more interesting than just color and fragrance. Especially when it comes to people. When we feel that aversion, again, it's okay. We don't have to run out and make a person we feel averse to our best friend. But before we simply dismiss them as not beautiful, not worthy of our time, not interesting, in a way that I know we would never dismiss somebody just because they didn't look like People magazine or Hollywood wants them to look, could we say, what is there to learn here? What's going on? What's going on in me? What's going on in them? Where's the hidden beauty? Because when we move through the world this way, with this ever-widening idea of beauty, we have so many opportunities to rejoice. And we could all use a lot more of those.